Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin here in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box in Cold Spring, Texas. Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box down in Enowak, Texas. Got our boy TT missing an MIA today. He made it the first week, well, missed out on the second.
Back to his old ways, and, you know, that's to be expected. But there's a possibility that we might get him to call in here. He's been sent the Zoom link, so we'll see what happens here in the next few minutes. But how you doing over there in the hot box, Craig?
Man, I'm doing good. Had two full days of Texas high school football for Thursday and Friday for me. And so that worked out really, really well. Toby and I, we went to
Recording in progress.
Well, you had to start that recording.
Yes, I forgot to start the recording so we can go back and do some clippage. You see, we have our future in TT spot. Put them headphones on, Case.
At least he's consistent and shows up.
He does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. So anyway, with that being said, Toby and I went to the Cold Spring scrimmage Thursday night. And then Friday night, we went to Die Ball and watched Die Ball and Jasper play, which was a lot of fun, and got to watch some really good football between those two football teams. So that made it worth it. Our little buddy that's sitting over there in the other booth that you can see on the screen, Case, went with us to both games. He rode with us.
He wasn't going to.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to go, but he went.
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen, though.
Yeah,
you asked him if we go. He says no. And then when y'all started getting dressed and saying y'all were all headed to the football stadium, he was like, "Oh, I want to go now."
Yeah, Case, did you have fun at the football games? Yeah. Tell us in the mic.
Yes.
You had fun?
Uh-huh.
Were they tackling people hard?
Yes.
Talk in the microphone.
Yes. And so when we went to look at the Forza Wagon.
What did you do at the scrimmages? I know at the Cold Spring scrimmage, you had a little girl that was flirting with you, Bree. You was playing with her, wasn't you? Yeah. Talk in the mic so Trent can hear you.
Trent, and I went at the football scrimmages, so I got some watermelon.
He got some watermelon.
Got some watermelon at the scrimmage?
Yep.
Watermelon's always good to have at any game.
Yes. Yes, it is. So,
did you eat seeds?
Did he get what?
Did you eat the seeds of the watermelon seeds?
Did you eat the watermelon seeds? No? You didn't?
No.
Talk in the microphone.
Okay.
No.
So, and then we went to Die Ball, and we watched Die Ball and Jasper, Case, didn't we? Talk in the microphone.
Yes.
That was a really good scrimmage, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't you get some Sour Power Worms and a water? Talk in the microphone.
Yes.
Were they yummy?
Yeah.
And then we went to Whataburger afterwards? Talk in the microphone.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm anxious to hear about the Die Ball Jasper game, but I'm gonna let you go first on the Cold Spring Livingston game. How did that go?
So I thought it went really well, and I wish Toby was here to be able to jump in. And he texted me back, said that it was telling him that the link was restricted, so he probably needs to download the Zoom app.
Most likely,
yeah. That's what I just texted him to do, is download the Zoom app. But so anyway, with that being said, the Cold Spring scrimmage was good. I thought that we had some really good, bright high points. I felt like the coaching staff maybe run some of the ones in a lot more than what they should have overall, but they looked well. Not great, looked well, looked a little bit more comfortable. Defensively, they looked very solid, in my opinion. Very, very solid. Offensively, whenever they ran the live quarter, and that's really all I go off, what I try to go off of, right? When they ran the live quarter, Cold Spring ran two plays and put six on the board from 65 yards out. And that was aided by Tiger Parker. We've talked about him a bunch. You know, he went out late last season with some injury, with an ankle injury. Had been, excuse me, had, you know, spent the whole offseason rehabbing, getting back healthy. Came back in, two plays, 65 yards, six on the board for the Cold Spring Trojans. Looked really good. The downfall is he went out midway through the scrimmage with an ankle injury again. So we'll wait to see what transpires with that. But also, David Rowe, the starting quarterback, was kind of beat up in that scrimmage, and he took probably 95% of the snaps for the Cold Springs offense, which I totally disagree with. In my opinion, I'm not the coach. I'm not the one calling the shots. I'm just voicing my opinion. I just feel like that, you know, when you're this early in the season, you get your ones, a few reps, and then you move on and let your twos and threes get some reps back there as well. And especially in a skilled position set such as the quarterback, you know, I felt like that they left him back there a little bit too long.
Were the quarterbacks wearing red shirts?
No, playing full live quarters. Not hit the quarterback or nothing like that. They weren't protecting anybody. It was everybody was fair game. And, you know, I totally disagree with that aspect of it. I felt like that, you know, after maybe two or three series, and I get it, Cold Spring's going to the spread offense. That's a whole nother look than what they've been in the past. So, I mean, you got to go back to Mark Bird being the head coach when they were running the RPO type offense. And none of the kids that are seniors today were even in junior high when Mark Bird was here as the head coach. So nobody has that experience of running that RPO type offense, and here we are, we're running it this year. And I like it. David Rowe looks very comfortable back there. The concern that I have is leaving him back there so long in a scrimmage that means absolutely nothing. When you have TJ Johnson that could get back there as quarterback, he's the number two guy. Should have had him in that position and letting him take a few more snaps. And I will say this, TJ got back there, took some snaps and it was really good watching him, as athletic as what he is. You know, in that quarterback quarterback position kind of gives you that dual threat and really opens up that RPO versus with David Rowe. He's just more overall athletic and more speedy with his footwork than what David Rowe is. And, you know, I just feel like that in that scrimmage, they left David in there a little too long, and he made some good passes throughout the night, but was pressured a lot with the offensive line. And we've talked about that O-line for the last 2 years about the weakness of that offensive line. So, you know, it's easy for me to sit up and watch a scrimmage and critique and what I see and what I agree and what I disagree with. But at the end of the day, I'm not the coach. I'm not dealing with those kids day in and day out. I'm not at every one of those practices. I'm not seeing what they're doing in the trenches, what they're working out and doing and working to get harder, get better. So with me saying everything that I've said, you know, those coaches are the ones that are there every day. They see it every day. They know what they're doing. They have a degree that says they know what they're doing. And, you know, they're doing what they feel like is best for that football team. So, I'm curious to see how the season progresses. You know, we got a good scrimmage this week with Crockett, and I'm gonna make the trip up there. I'm gonna actually hit two scrimmages in one day Thursday. So I'm curious to see.
That's busy.
Yes. So it's really a good trip. And we'll talk about it later on in the show. But so we're going to Crockett this week. So I'm really looking forward to that. Kind of knock the comparison down. But on the other side to it, a football team that I'm going to be talking about and during my pregame show that we're going to be doing at Bullet Grill starting on, August 28th, is the Livingston Lions. They didn't look horrible. They looked pretty good. I think Coach Vanover is going to do some work get that team polished up a little bit more as they get ready to roll into district play. They're in a little bit better district than what they were last year, and I'm really excited to see how it plays out. And we'll talk about these districts as we progress on over the next couple of weeks. But getting to watch Coach Vanover and the Livingston Lions, and you know, Toby talked about it a lot. Was worried about the size, the offensive line size versus our D line and such, in the comparison of the two, but really, whenever you put them pound to pound, there wasn't much difference between the two, you know, offense and defensive lines between both teams, which says a lot for the Cold Spring Trojans and what they're doing in the weight room, getting guys a little bit bigger and stronger. So I'm looking for, you know, there's a lot to look forward to for the Cold Spring Trojans. I seen some things in the scrimmage that I wasn't a fan of, and, you know, that's just what it is.
Well, I was going to, and I'm glad you elaborated on Livingston a little bit. I mean, Livingston's a team that we're going to probably mention a lot on this show. And just so that everybody knows, I mean, this is the very first scrimmage for most teams, right? First week to try and get some of the cobwebs and the rust knocked off. And, you know, rust is something that I think I definitely saw when it came to Anahuac and Liberty. And I'll start off with talking about Liberty first.
Well,
and
let's not get too deep in it. We still got a bunch of segments to go in this. I mean, we're like 13 minutes into this segment. So we can talk. Let's jump over. You sent me some topics.
I don't mean to
cut you off, 'cause I know you're getting on a roll. But you sent one of the topics that you sent was who has the best chance to repeat a state championship in 2024?
Yeah.
We could go a long time on this, but stay relevant to 3A, right? I think if you go back and you look at this and we look just focusing more on our region, right, in Region 3, I think whenever you sit back and you look back down at the projections of the regional finals, right, or in a regional championship, the projections have Franklin and Hitchcock there, which is, you and I both know that Columbus could be there as well.
Absolutely can be.
And it all depends on how things shake out bracket-wise and where particular teams finish in the bracket. Look who just joined in.
Maybe
he's connecting to the audio,
but just to elaborate on what you were talking about is that, you know, and even Step says it's now or never for Columbus. And on the podcast that never was, when we talked about Columbus's new acquisition,
yes,
we didn't even get you and I had some good conversation about that.
And honestly, that whole segment got deleted.
Yeah, it did.
Recording stopped.
And Grayson Rigdon, right?
Right.
Grayson Rigdon coming over from six-man football and taking that leap to 3A Division I football. He'll be going over to Columbus. And for those who don't know who Grayson Rigdon is, he was in the state title game last year, has been in the state title game, in the six-man title game, for the last 3 years. And Benjamin was the team that he came from. won a state
recording
title with
in progress.
Won a state title with Strawn. Was obviously a standout. We got to watch him in the state final games this last year, and we both were very impressed with him. Anyway, Columbus ends up hiring his dad as a coach over there. Rigdon will go over there and play the wideout position from what I'm reading. So that gives Columbus one more weapon to work with, and with an already great quarterback
right
over there. So the reason I elaborate on Columbus so much, and we're kind of on that Columbus train, is because it is now or never for them. I think they're all in. They're looking at nothing short than a state title this year, if not getting into the final in some sort of way or form. But in order to do so, they're going to have to go through Franklin, Hitchcock, and a very, very tough region in general.
Most definitely. So we're going to talk a lot more about Columbus as this season progresses on. And, you know, last year I was pretty high on that Columbus horse. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to be able to talk about Columbus a lot more. But as I stated, you know, in the 3A level, you know, you can never count Franklin out to be that competitor in that and making it back to Dallas to play at AT&T Stadium. You can't take them guys out of that equation for what they've done over the last number of years. So Franklin's one of those teams that I think could be that will be that repeat. I mean, obviously you got your DeSoto and your Duncanville. Obviously Atascocita and North Shore have a different opinion on that. And when we come back in this next segment, we got Toby on the line. We're going to talk about Atascocita a little bit as well, as we're going to take a break here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media.
The 2024 Gator season is right around the corner, so book your all-inclusive gator hunt with only the best. Porter's Wild Game Processing and Alligator Farm takes personal care in your experience, being the only service that offers a hunt of a lifetime with processing, high tanning, taxidermy, and the meat from your harvest all in one package. While you're there, be sure to get signed up for this year's Marshmaster Classic, an annual competition that awards big cash and even bigger belt buckles. Speaking of big prizes, let's not forget about the Great Texas Alligator Roundup at the one and only Texas Gator Fest, September 13th through the 15th. Porter's has been the exclusive partner of Gator Fest for over 30 years, so why trust anyone else but the professionals? The official start to the season is September 10th, so don't wait. Book your hunt today by calling 409-267-8413, or you can visit them on the web at portersprocessing.com.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. And guess who slipped on in? But he's not in either box. He's on his way home. Toby Tolles on the podcast with us this week.
Yes, and glad to be.
Well,
glad to be. I thought I was going to get left behind on this week's show, but we were able to get me some technology this way and got on.
Man, made it happen. Look, this is the deal. It's the 590 Sports Show. We're going to do whatever we got to do to get you on the air, right? It doesn't matter if you're in Anahuac or if you're driving down the highway, where you're at. We're gonna provide you with the means to be able to get on air, and that's exactly what we've done. And we got TT in his own box, his own little world, as he's making his way back home here on the 590 Sports Show. But so Toby, just to recap your first segment, we talked a little bit about the Cold Spring Trojans and their scrimmage this last week. And I kind of elaborated on Tiger Parker and his running game, but yet sustaining an injury, still kind of unknown on how that's going to play out with what he's going to be able to do and how effective he's going to be. Talked about David Rowe being in the quarterback spot. I felt like he Maya got left in that position a little bit long in the scrimmage type setting when we could have been running our twos and threes a little bit more for the Cold Spring Trojans in the quarterback position to help save our QB1 and such. So that's kind of where we were. Hadn't talked about Jasper, and we haven't talked about Anahuac yet.
Well, I mean, not to jump off subject, and I know I'm a little late here, but, I mean, tell me y'all talked about the Cold Springs defense.
Yes, I did talk about that Cold Spring defense and how electric they were. They were really swarming the ball well.
Yes.
And it's really early. There's still kind of some jitters in there. And one of the things that I liked what Coach Rydell was doing was he was running some twos out there and getting them some quality playing time defensively.
Well, I've been around the game for a little while. I'm no means an expert. But I will tell you that defense was extremely impressive, and they're gonna be hard to deal with. I mean, that was the first scrimmage, and we've got guys flying around. It's not one, two, three, it's probably five or six guys that can really do it. And I was extremely impressed with the defense, and I think week in and week out you're gonna have to get through them. I'm extremely excited about that.
Well, and my question, concern, and what I want to watch and see is seeing the offense running the spread. Obviously, we've seen the weak spot, which is the offensive line, Toby. As we go through and we look at all of this and we look at the defense, it's going to be key for Cold Springs defense to force turnovers and capitalize on them turnovers. I feel like with the running the spread this year, or the RPO, however you want to look at it, as we sit right now, we know Tiger Parker is going to be out this week and probably another week, right? He's the best running back we have. Say week three, he comes back and he's 60%. His 60% is better than most kids' 100%, in my opinion.
Pretty good, yeah. It's pretty good. He runs really hard. I think he has a lot of determination this year, his senior year. I think he's excited about maybe playing at the next level. And just me talking to him a little bit this past week, very upbeat, very excited, very engaged. I definitely think that if we can get him back healthy, it's going to be – a huge help, absolutely.
So,
but I think on the offensive side of the ball, Craig, I mean, to hit on that a little bit, obviously it's the first scrimmage, so
right.
It's kind of hard to really, you know, see where we're going and what we're doing. And there's probably some things that they're not going to show us. There's some things they're not going to break out until the time's needed, right? But if they can, what I'm wanting to see basically is them continuing to make changes and make the best moves that they can make to get as most out of this team as we can get, especially offensively. And if that's moving guys around and getting, faster guys in the flats and making defenses come out and make one-on-one tackles, I think that's going to be the key. And that way they won't key on Tiger Parker as much. And if you can do that and kind of keep them off of balance, I think that they'll be able to survive and then lean on that defense.
No, most definitely. And the defense was bright. It definitely was. And that was what I opened up with. Trent was talking about that Cold Spring defense and what they were able to do. So I'm curious, Toby, we watched a little bit of video of Anahuac. And mm-hmm. while we were at the Cold Spring scrimmage Thursday, you and I were sitting up there in the press in the bleachers, sweating with everybody else. And we watched a little bit of that Anahuac offense. And you know, Trent, and I talked to you about it. There was no tempo to that Anahuac offense. Obviously, it's the first scrimmage, and we know how those scrimmages work. It gives you an opportunity to coach while you're in a game setting. But you and I talked as well. I just felt like that there was no tempo and no sense of urgency getting plays in and such, and getting the ball put in play. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it was very cool to be able to sit in the stands and watch a scrimmage of our hometown team, but at the same time to tune into Anahuac Live, Sports Live, and to be able to see it right there at our fingertips is pretty neat, right?
Yes.
So, yes, we got to do that, and it was almost like we were at that game. And, yeah, it just seemed, and like I said, it was a very little bit that I got to watch, but, yeah, it did seem like the tempo was kind of down. But once again, it may just be them kind of, gelling together early on,
But what I did notice was Brady Barrier could sling that rock.
That, I will tell you, he can dice it. he can dice it. I will say that from what I saw.
It's funny how much that he has developed, you know, just since the last time I saw him. And we talked about it last week about him being here as a sophomore and seeing how much, just how much he has progressed in a year's time. And his arm strength is definitely one of those things. He can throw some laser beams and at the same time throw some bombs that I saw him one time standing at the 35, and I'm talking about their own 35, and put one in the back of the end zone. So yes. I was like, and that one opened my eyes quite a bit. But to elaborate on what you were saying about tempo, and you're right. My words were, you know, couldn't exactly get in a rhythm on a first scrimmage back for the Panthers, but it was almost seems like that, you know, we know that these scrimmages are built so that teams can get acclimated and get back in to the swing of things. And that's exactly what I saw out of this Anahuac offense, was that it seemed like trying to get used to a spread offensive scheme. And that's what they fully committed to, is the spread. And, you know, rightfully so, considering the quarterback that you have. It seems like that a lot of the assignments on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, and I'll talk about defense in a minute, but on the offensive side of the ball, it seemed like there was some confusion on where, you know, some of the assignments should have been, especially on, you know, the offensive line and who's going to pick up what blocks at what time. Liberty showing a lot of blitzes, and they put Barrier under pressure quite a bit, and they're going to be seeing that out of teams as we progress through the season. They're going to know that, you know, Brady Barrier is going to be the one to key in on. I saw some good things out of that offense. There was times that Quandre Coates was the senior tight end for the Panthers, committed to the Raging Cajuns. He picked up some chunk yardage on more than one occasion. That's also a person that teams are going to be keying in on and double teaming a lot. But at the same time, I mean, when I say fully committed to the spread, the Anahuac in the live setting, in the 20-minute live setting there at the end of the scrimmage, didn't run the ball once. But in the first part, you know, ran it a couple of different times on that first drive and actually scored one. But for the most part, I mean, the run is non-existent, and the backs that are back there are set to protect the quarterback. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I think for the Panthers, they're just going to have to, you know, it's going to take some time to get comfortable in this type of offense, because it's completely different than what we're used to seeing down here. It's mostly been a run first offense. I mean, yeah, when Brady was here the year before last, it was more pass, but they still had the run game to lean on too. But I have a feeling that this year is complete opposite. We're going to be seeing a lot of passing out of this team, and it seems like out of Cold Spring, you are going to be seeing the same thing.
Well, I feel like Cold Spring, it's going to be
more of an option,
right? And I say an option, it's going to be, I feel like you're going to see a little bit more of the running game out of the spread, and that was what we seen early on. Toby could elaborate some more on it, but we seen that a little bit more early on in the scrimmage was the Trojans in the gun, spread out, have everything. And that aided Tiger Parker to be able to score two plays, 65 yards, right? And if Tiger Parker is healthy, they're going to be feeding him the rock. I mean, he went through seven games last season and had a little over 1,100 yards, I believe it was, on the season before he broke his ankle and was out. He could have had a monstrous season if he would have been able to stay healthy and stay in that running back role, running the slot T, running this RPO style offense, giving him an opportunity with the field spread out. The sky's the limit on what he could do, in my opinion. What do you think, Toby?
Well, I think that it's unbalanced, being very balanced, passing and running, I think is very going to be super key with the Cold Springs offense. I think that If you can get the guys the ball on the outside and have teams cover you from sideline to sideline instead of between the, you know, the hashes, I think is going to help. And I think if you can get that balance, I think that, that they can probably begin to get a pretty good flow in the game. And I think scoring points won't be a problem.
I agree 1,000%.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? And after what I saw, I mean, they have – Cold Springs has a lot of athletes on the field. I mean, when I tell you 5 or 6 on defense, it might be 8 on defense. I mean, they've got gamers. They've got athletes. They've got – I mean, you know, they got guys that aren't scared to come up and make contact. Now, as far as, you know, covering somebody off the hip, that's kind of to be seen, you know. And we know playing Anahuac, that's going to be key. We're going to have to definitely get pressure on that quarterback. We're going to have to make him make decisions fast. And we're going to have to, you know, stay on the hip and play good defensive coverage.
And we watched Livingston. We watched Caden Barton do that against Livingston Thursday night. Watched Caden Barton being able to get some pressure on the quarterback, have one big sack, tackle for a loss in the live scrimmage. You also have Quavy in there at the nose guard position. He's wreaking havoc in there. I mean, if you look at our front three.
You got Eric Sykes to switch in and out with. I mean, you've got guys, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, at this level, you know, guys going both ways, you're going to get tired, right? I mean, it's going to be easy to for a team that, you know, like Anahuac that slings it around come third quarter, you got guys putting their hands on their hips, right? I mean, that's not having depth will hurt you. So I think it's going to be key, especially this next week in the scrimmage, for them to rotate guys in and out. And yes. I would definitely like to see a lot of rotation, especially on the D-line. That way, you know, we know one guy can do it, but can one guy do it all four quarters? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so having that depth, I think, is going to be key. And it goes back to what I say at the start of this season. I mean, it was all kind of a mystery. It was like, can they put the guys in the right positions?
Right.
And so that's kind of my take on it.
Well, just to elaborate on back to the Anahuac game, and Tom, want to talk about their last thing about their offenses. And you talk about hands on hips. I think, you know, a lot of teams are getting back into shape, but I think that that definitely showed a little bit on Thursday, you know, on both teams, both Liberty and Anahuac. But the speed on the outside and the options that that Barrier has, you know, Logan Trotter being one of them. He was the quarterback last year that came over that we talked about last week. That definitely is a huge plus for Brady to have a target for. I mentioned Quandre Coates earlier, and Thomas Dello is in the backfield, so they threw a couple of screens over to him in the flats, and you know, getting him, you know, some chunk yards out of that too. So there's things definitely to build on. There's things that they've got to work on also, and I think in the trenches is the biggest thing. And I think I voiced my opinion on my worry of what Anahuac had to offer up front and some of that size, and I think that kind of showed on Thursday. I think it's nothing that they can't work with. They're going to have to really focus on sticking to assignments, and that's what brings me to the defensive side. There was a lot of anxiety, I think, on the defensive side, with it being the first game and being up against another team on the field. You know, there was a lot of, you know, there was a good penetration up front, but a lot of times linebackers were not really sticking to their assignments, running past the runner and didn't get really a hit on them, and they're more, I think, focused on taking somebody's head off or getting that big hit than they were about actually stopping the play. And credit to Liberty. You know, Liberty, we talked a little bit about it, Greg. I mean, y'all've got Liberty preseason week 1.
Yep.
And Liberty is 4A Division I. They opted out, or opted up, excuse me, to, instead of being in the 4A Division II, them and Hardin-Jefferson both. But with that said, Liberty did not look bad at all. I think in the last couple of years, they've kind of struggled a little bit, but it seemed like they've got some new life breathed into them when it comes to their coaching staff. And they, like you said, they've always been kind of scrappy. Well, this last week, from what I saw on the field, there was a lot of intensity out of the Liberty Panthers on both offense and defense. Offensively, they run a spread option, and they've got a good, quick quarterback that makes good decisions on when he's, you know, going to option that ball off or not, or keep it himself. And he got some great plays, had a couple of good passes too. So he's a good athletic quarterback. And Liberty as a whole, I was pretty impressed with. It was just how they've been able to overcome last year and really coming out to be more of a, what it seems to me, a more rounded football team. It was just my first glance at them.
Well, new coach coming in over there is the head coach for the Liberty Panthers. Ked Harrison come from Cold Spring, and from Cold Spring he went to Stephen F. Austin, started up there, then made his journey over to Palestine Westwood, and from Westwood to Shepherd to Cleveland, now to Liberty. And so it's interesting to watch his – it's going to be fun to watch his career grow as an athletic director and head football coach. He brings a different level. He was under, he played under Coach Barbet and Coach Blake Morrison here in Cold Spring. So he knows what it takes to be a champion. He played good football at Stephen F. Austin and, you know, from there really improved the defense at Palestine Westwood. From there, we know what he did at Shepherd, moved, went to Cleveland for a year and now at Liberty. So he has the pedigree. I think he's got what it takes to really boost that program, and I'm interested to see, and I'm looking forward to being in Liberty here in a couple of weeks to be able to watch that football game. We're going to take a break here on the 5-9. Go ahead. We're going to take a break.
I was just saying, you can just tell the overall atmosphere.
Right. He brings it to another. He's bringing it to another level, and that's what the Liberty Panthers have been looking for. So, when we come back, we're going to talk about the best eatery that me and Toby hit coming back from Dieball during the Dieball-Jasper scrimmage. And got a little bit more we're going to talk about here on the 590 Sports Show. We'll be back right after this. Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart, Toby Tullis. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp box. And Toby, he's just in a box all by himself. Well, he's not by himself, but on his way home here on the 590 Sports Show. And man, it was great. First week of scrimmages for me, being able to go and watch some quality football. And we've talked about Cold Spring, we've talked about Anahuac, but first and foremost, Toby and I, Friday evening, we loaded up. It was me, Case, and McCall, and Toby. We all loaded up in the wife's ride, and we made the trip to Dieball, Texas, to Lumberjack Stadium. And we had a treat, didn't we, Toby?
Well, I tell you, it was fun. I mean, we're sitting there on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was, and we knew our Trojans were scrimmaging on Thursday, and it was the first scrimmage against a live opponent. So we were pretty excited about that. But knowing that the following night we were going to get to go to another one, right?
Right.
So it was pretty cool, and we picked a good one. You know, it wasn't too far to travel, but we got to see what Dieball is going to have. We got to see a little bit of Jasper after watching them last year. And
so here's the deal. How lucky is Dieball? And you know where I'm going with this, Toby. Trent, you don't. How lucky is Dieball?
Yeah, so Dieball, obviously year after year, program-wise, they've had Morse in there for a while, and he's built a really good program.
He's been there since 2015, so he's been there 9 years.
Yeah, there's, Dieball, as general, has always been a good place as far as building a program and getting stuff established. Martell did a good job years ago, and so is Morrison and some other coaches. And so, But with that being said, you know, they lose people from year to year. And so it's always curious to see, you know, who's going to step up, you know, who's the younger guys are going to step up. And I'll tell you this, I had a guy ask me, you know, what would you think about Dieball? And I said, well, second or third round team.
Easy.
And that's just early on. I mean, would you agree with that, Craig?
No, most definitely. I agree with that, hands down. And we're gonna elaborate on this Dieball program a little bit more, because there's more to just the X's and O's on the field, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But so we're watching. We're watching this scrimmage.
Saw, man, they do what?
What I was gonna say is we're watching this scrimmage, and we're seeing this kid in the running back position, and we're like, who is this kid? We don't remember seeing him. You remember this, Toby? We don't remember seeing him last year.
I looked at Craig and I said, I called this player's number out and I said, and I told the boys that was with us, I said, watch this cat, you know? And so of course we did. And I knew he had the physical attributes and he looked pretty good.
So,
and sure enough, when they handed in that pigskin, I said, yep. He's the real deal. Right. And so anyways, I told Craig, I said, who is this? You know, I'm not able to pull any numbers up on any of this. I need to know who this kid is, what grade, da-da-da. So, anyways, Craig went down and got some inside info, and he is a move-in.
Coach Morrison's wife was sitting down about three roads below us, and I went down there and visited with her, and I said, Miss Kelly, I said, I got a question. She goes, what's that? I said, who's number nine? She goes, and I said, first, what grade is he in? She goes, he's a senior. I said, do what? And she said, yeah, he's a move-in. And I said, do what? And she said, yeah, he just moved in this year. And I was like, man, what a blessing. That kid right there is a blessing to a program.
Yes, he's obviously starting running back or definitely one that goes in quite a bit if he's not starting. I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure he's starting, and then he's at a strong safety position, outside linebacker.
Right, and he was all over the field.
Just as well on defense as he is on offense.
Yeah.
But not only that, I mean, they had a tight end that was great. Quarterback was great. O-line was phenomenal. I mean, all across the line, I thought they handled Jasper very well. I mean, just they had a great team. Their kicker, I thought, was good for special team stuff. I mean, as good as they look now, I could only imagine what they're going to be like, you know, after district. And so that's why I say I think they're going to be something to deal with. I know that Palestine Westwood out of that district is another one that's got a pretty good junior and senior class that I'll probably give them a run for it, but you know, it's hard to not pick the Dieball Lumberjacks.
No, it is.
It's kind of disconcerting because, I mean, we know that over the, I guess, last few years, Dieball only gets better as the season progresses. And that's always been the case with them. And you can say that for a lot of teams, but Dieball specifically toward the end of the season has always been one of those that seems to get it right at the right time.
Yes.
And one thing that me and Craig had talked about on the way home is, and that's one thing we talked about, is the energy level. You know, the energy level of the coaches and the players. And he had brought up a good point that he had found out that, and I don't remember the number it was, and Craig, you may be able to tell us. But
there was six coaches.
How many former guys that they have that are now coaches there?
There was six coaches that are former players there at Dieball High School. So
yeah, so I mean, these are guys that, you know, obviously played in the program, lived it, breathed it, you know, graduated, went on to either play football or just get their education and come back to the hometown and coach and give to what, you know, what they got out of the program back to the new generation.
And
you could tell.
That's impressive to me because, Toby, we talk about this a lot with where we're at, but it's about retaining athletes, right? Whenever these coaches come back in coaching Dieball or coaching Cold Spring, their kids are coming back to play here as well, right?
And
you're retaining those athletes to a program, and that heritage of that program is instilled to them. We talk about Huntsville's got two or three kids that played that should be with the graduating class of Cold Spring that are now in Huntsville. We don't talk about it enough, but there's two or three coaches that are in Shepherd that if they coached in Cold Spring, they would be contributing, that are from Cold Spring. If they coached, they're coaching in Shepherd, not in Cold Spring, to, you know, help build that heritage. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, and it's probably easier said than done. There's a lot of variables that go into that. You know, Dieball's always kind of been that town that has a lot of, a lot of sawmills, things of that nature. So there's a lot of people work in that town, right? And so, you know, when stuff like that shuts down, I know one thing you had talked about is their numbers had started going back down.
Yes.
Instead of going up. And that contributes to that, you know, like whether or not, you know, a company buys out the big LP that was there and may move some of their stuff to another city, and you know moms and dads have to go somewhere else to find work, you know, and
right.
Sometimes you lose guys like that, you know.
And that was one of the things that Coach Morrison's wife and I were talking about. We were talking about the growth in Cold Spring, as she knows the area very well. And she was telling me that her and Blake had, Coach Morrison had just had the conversation a night or two before, you know, about how their numbers have dropped and, you know, retaining some of these players. And, you know, they kind of had a thought that depending on what the UIL did with the numbers, that, you know, there was that possibility that they could have dropped down, you know, much like Woodville did, as Woodville's numbers decreased on the UIL realignment, and Woodville dropping to 3A Division II. And boy, what a force Dieball would be reckoned with if they went to 3A Division II.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, that would be crazy. It's, you know, it's the same situation kind of with Woodville. I mean, it's going to be, you know, yeah, they've got Newton in that district, but it's going to be really interesting to see a Woodville team in the playoffs.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what Dieball would be like if they were to drop down in that kind of situation.
One other thing that was impressive that we had discussed, Craig, was, you know, obviously we all know that their baseball program is second to none up there in Dieball, and, you know, went very deep in the playoffs, I think played for it and all that good stuff. And so anyways, I told Craig, we were sitting there, I said, wonder how many of these kids play baseball there on this football team. And what did you end up finding out, Craig?
I found out that all nine of the varsity starters for Dieball's baseball team, all nine of them played football as well.
Yeah, and that's remarkable.
Gotta have that, though. Your that's athletes remarkable. Have got to play.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
yeah, that's remarkable, especially in this day's time. You know, it's so easy to get caught up. And quite frankly, I mean, if you're not keeping up with everybody that's getting better each and every week, you know, a lot of times you fall back. And so,
well, Toby, but
for these guys to be able to do both, I think at a young age, I think is really where you want to be at.
But at a small school, small school like Dieball, Cold Spring, Anahuac, you know, we got – that kiddo that was with us Friday night going to Dieball, him and his brother, that's their first year's playing football, right? Moved from Cleveland up to Cold Spring going to school. So with that being said, getting those guys playing multi-sports is very important to your program, right? You want to get more kids involved. You want them playing more sports because each one of them in some way, shape, or form coincide with the other. I was at a guy's house today looking at a horse, and I was working with this kid's hitting and throwing. And I explained to him, I said, you know, look, I said, you're sitting here roping this dummy. There's not much difference between roping a dummy and roping a calf. You know, your left foot's forward, you know, and started kind of explaining. And a light bulb just, you could see both of them. They're 8 and 10 years old, and kind of light bulbs come on to them. He's like, man, I never thought about this, but being able to help them in that aspect. But the more they're involved, there's agility, you know, and I talk about Cedric Reed, and Toby, you'll remember this. Mac Brown showed up as when the University of Texas was recruiting Ced Reed to go play football for them. Mac Brown didn't come watch him play football, but he did come watch him play basketball. And I remember talking to him, Mac Brown said, I can tell on a basketball court, if he has the agility to get up and down the hardwood, that he's got the agility to be able to play defensive end for me on playing football for the University of Texas. So it's important for these kids. And my point on saying this is you get so many parents out there that think little Johnny is a baseball player. He's played select ball since he was 8 years old, and that's all he's going to play is baseball. You're killing your kid.
We've talked about it before. Right.
Yes.
It went into that whole league versus select conversation that we had in a podcast, you know, not too long ago. College coaches more times than not, are going to want a multifaceted athlete to play for them. There's no two ways about it, guys. If you, and when I say guys, I'm talking to parents,
right?
It's, they want to know whenever they're recruiting a player, how many other sports do they play? Are they playing baseball, basketball? Are they doing everything that they possibly can? Are they just focused on football? Are they just focused on baseball, softball, whatever?
Right.
And then, right. But on top of that, it's like, it, like Craig said, and especially classes like ours, 3A and lower, it's even more important as a program to have all of your athletes playing. So kudos to Dieball for again, retaining athletes across your sports.
Right. Yes.
But y'all haven't talked about Jasper. What about? No, yeah, actually,
before we get ready to tell, yeah. I was just before thinking that as Jasper, well. I was like, I can't believe Craig is leaving them out.
Well, I'm curious. Before we go to Jasper, I'm curious about Dieball's defense. What does Dieball's defense look like? Is that, I think, solid. That was one of the questions about Dieball coming into this season and losing what they did and lacking a little bit of depth on the defensive side.
They were solid.
Yeah.
I thought they were solid, didn't you, Craig? I mean, obviously the move in was a big standout at outside backer. But yeah, at the end of the day, they were solid.
I think with Morrison being at the helm over there, and I'll say this, and I've said this every year for the last, I don't know how many years, I think Blake Morrison is one of the best defensive coaches in the state of Texas in high school football. And I don't think he gets enough recognition for what he does in his mindset defensively, what he does there. With that being said, their defense is not going to have a problem. Coach Morrison's going to make adjustments. He's going to watch. He's going to make adjustments, and they're going to execute. Those kids are going to be in shape. They're going to be fit, muscular-wise, right? They're going to be in shape, and come the end of October, whenever we're going to week 11 and week 12, those kids are going to be in the best shape of their life. They're going to be swarming the field. They're going to be playing really, really good football. And to say that, watching them against Jasper's offense, you know, I think I'll say this, watching that scrimmage, I felt like we were watching two very balanced teams. Would you concur with that, Toby?
Oh, absolutely. You know, on Jasper's side of the ball, you know, one, they have an A&M commit at receiver. And
yes.
I mean, I don't know what his build was, but he's probably what, 6'6", you know.
Yeah, he's a man. 250. He's a true man.
Yeah, I mean, so. Obviously, and one thing I told Craig, I said, you know, Shepherd's in that district with them. And I said, I don't know that they have an answer for that. I mean,
they don't.
And a lot of teams wouldn't have an answer for that. I mean, this guy is like, he's going to play at A&M. I mean, that says enough right there. But, yeah, they have a quarterback that can move, very, very athletic quarterback. He wants to throw it. He'll sit in the pocket, but he'll take off and go on you too. And I've seen several times on Dieball he would extend plays. And he would go for 30. I mean, that happened on multiple occasions. They had a couple backs that were good. I thought their line was pretty solid up front. I don't know if they were as good as they were last year. And of course, that was late in the year when me and Craig got to watch them play Silsby. One of the guys is playing at the University of Texas now that they had, and they don't have him no more. So but all in all, they were a very good football team. And I look for them to probably do some big things, you know, in the first couple of rounds of the playoffs.
And we're going to be able to.
After that, it's hard to tell.
We're going to be able to elaborate a little bit more on Jasper as we progress on, you know, because we're going to talk about that district a lot. There's some more things coming to the 599 Sports Show that we're not going to release just yet that I know is going to be coming up. So there's a good possibility that we're going to have a little bit more in-depth coverage covering that Jasper Silsby area coming on the 599 Sports Show throughout this season. So I'm looking forward to that and really be able to elaborate on Jasper as we progress on in the season. But look, Jasper, we already know this. They're in a tough district, right? Obviously, Silsby, West Orange Stark, and then Hampshire Finette. You look at Hampshire Finette, you know, it's unbelievable with how good they have gotten versus where they've been.
Yeah, that spread offense and how zoned in each one of their guys have been the last couple of years, it's starting to come easy to that group. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember the one thing when I had went over to Hampshire Finette the week we had played them, I'd went over on a Thursday night and watched my youngest son play. And I'd come back, and I think I told Craig when I said their JV is really good.
Yes. Well, their
turned
JV
around the following night and watched the varsity who was really good. And I said, that's 4 years their right there. I mean,
their JV was undefeated last year, 10-0 for the Hampshire JV.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to watch that Jasper, that 4A Division II over there in the Jasper area. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. But one of the things I want to wrap this segment up with was on the way home, Toby's case, I asked him, I said, say, homie, I said, what do you want to eat? He goes, man, he said, let's go to Whataburger. So we did. Toby, was that not the best Whataburger we've had in a long time?
I eat at a lot of them because I travel around for work quite a bit, you know, throughout the state. But I'm telling you, that Whataburger that night
was on point.
I was extremely impressed. Yes. I was, from everything I had there, I thought it was extremely impressive.
It's next to the gas station. Yeah.
Store.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I've been there.
Store number 73 in Corrigan.
We've stopped there on the way back from Nacogdoches a few times. And that's definitely a good one.
No, it is, dude. The service was on point first and foremost, and the food just topped it off. And it wasn't that we were hungry, because we had snacks out of the concession stand there in Dieball. I think Toby and I had nachos. Case had a Frito pie. The young man that was with us, he had nachos or something. Didn't eat all. He had nachos because he didn't eat all of his jalapenos, and I gave him heck about it. And then Case had his little sour powers or whatever. But it wasn't that we were hungry, right? We were just we stopped in there. It's after a football game, and what do? You eat on the way, and you eat on the way home, and that's exactly what we did. So, y'all remember that Whataburger in the at the gas station in Corrigan and stop off. It's right before you get to the high school rolling north on 59. So if you're rolling north, you need to stop by there and let them know you heard it on the 599 Sports Show. We're going to take a break here. Come back with segment 4. Lots more to talk about. You're listening to 599 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
The 2024 Gator season is right around the corner, so book your all-inclusive Gator hunt with only the best. Porter's Wild Game Processing and Alligator Farm takes personal care in your experience, being the only service that offers a hunt of a lifetime with processing, high tanning, taxidermy, and the meat from your harvest all in one package. While you're there, be sure to get signed up for this year's Marshmaster Classic, an annual competition that awards good cash and even bigger belt buckles. Speaking of big prizes, let's not forget about the Great Texas Alligator Roundup at the one and only Texas Gator Fest, September 13th through the 15th. Porter's has been the exclusive partner of Gator Fest for over 30 years, so why trust anyone else but the professionals? The official start to the season is September 10th, so don't wait. Book your hunt today by calling 409-267-8413, or you can visit them on the web at portersprocessing.com.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744, or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com. Welcome back to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart, Toby Tullis. We're either in the hot box, we're in the swamp box, but we're on your radio box right now with Texas Podcast Media and the 599 Sports Show. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Segment 4 here as we get rolling in scrimmage week. 1 is behind us. We're kind of beat a horse with Cold Spring, Anahuac, Dieball, Jasper was kind of our big topics as we were going in there. But earlier on in the show, we brought up strength of schedules and stuff. And it's a big topic that Toby and I talk about a lot whenever we're talking about Cold Spring football and other schools. And Toby the other night sent us a text message about 10:30 one night, 11 o'clock. I can promise you I was in bed or getting close to it. It seemed like it was at. So Toby sends out the schedule for Atascocita and we've talked about Atascocita a good bit. Trent, your broadcast partner, like, is on the wings of the Atascocita Eagles, even though he broadcasted for North Shore. He is an Atascocita alumni. And
yes,
and he's always, for the last 3 years, it was the year Atascocita was going to beat North Shore. Am I right?
Last year, he was really on that train of this is finally the year, you know. And I mean, I couldn't disagree with him, because I felt like Atascocita was very, very athletic, and they looked as good as I've seen them here in the last few years. But with that said, I mean, you know, they went the last 3 years 11-3, and last year against North Shore was probably one of the games of the year, especially for our region.
Yes.
But yeah, you look at their preseason schedule, and I've got it brought up here. I mean, yeah, they got Lamar the first week, but then they got Katy, and then at Austin Westlake.
So,
man, that's tall order.
But you say it like, well, they got at Lamar. Lamar was 12-1 last year.
Yeah, they were, and I'm not like trying to put down Lamar or anything, but no, that, you know,
Toby. Hold up, Toby, is that what you got? He was putting down Lamar.
Well, what he's saying, those the teams that they're playing, there's about three or four of them that you hear quite often when you talk Texas high school football late in the playoffs here in state championships.
Yeah, so, right. But you're
see what he's trying to say.
You're talking about a team
discounting anything.
You're talking about a team that went 12-1. That means they went undefeated through the regular season, went to the postseason, and their one loss was in the postseason, three rounds deep.
Yeah.
But well, it just goes to add Lamar
to what they've got to play.
Right. No, I'm clipping that audio, and we're going to roast Trent on TikTok and everything else, because I will edit that.
Because Houston Lamar folks are going to go, man, who the hell is that guy anyway?
Trent who? Anna who?
Yeah,
Anna, I can't even pronounce that name.
Wife's even got a football team? I mean, geez.
So, to your point on the schedule, yes, they got Lamar, who was 12-1 last year. Then at Katy, who was 10-2, which is a worse record than Lamar. I just want to throw that out there. Then Westlake, who was 14-1. That means they lost in the semifinal game, right?
Yep.
Then they start district against CE King, who was a really good football program last year, just in a really tough district. CE King was 9-4. Behind that, Summer Creek, 14-2 was their overall record. Then you drop down to Humble and Kingwood. Neither one of those teams were, this is all district play. Neither one of them teams played 500 football last year. Then you're back to North Shore, lost in the state championship game to Duncanville. Behind that, you have
got them at home this year.
Then you have them have Channelview and Goose Creek Memorial. Channelview was 5-6. Goose Creek Memorial was 1-9. So when Toby sent me that link and I got to looking at it, I went and pulled up their records, because you're talking about probably one of the toughest pre-district schedules in Texas high school football.
Well, the only thing you don't have is Duncanville and DeSoto.
And that's because they didn't want to travel that far. But, heck, I guarantee you Huntsville would have let them use that stadium.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely remarkable. I mean, could you imagine that being your hometown? That's who you go watch every single week. If you don't have a ticket every week,
yeah,
you're missing out.
Turner Stadium is going to get to see some of the best football that it's seen in a number of years this year, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Up there in Huntsville. Or excuse me, Humble. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to following that, you know, as obviously the season progresses on, but to see what Atascocita has, you know, and the amount of athletes they have, and another program go ahead.
Yeah, that's what's so exciting about 6A football. I mean, we all seen the landscape in college football's changed, right? I mean,
yes.
Baylor, where, you know, their coaches wear it across their shirts now. You know, we pay players, right? And they want it to be known that they pay players. And that's a tactic to get guys to come play there, right?
Yes.
How much will you pay? So, but most impactful is 6A football, right? I mean, 6A football, there are so many guys that NIL, they're going to be visiting that when they go visit these big schools.
So,
and that level of football is just, it's the next notch right below college football.
So with you saying that, it makes me, I'm trying to pull this article up because I sent it to myself the other day, and I want to pull it up because you saying exactly what you said about these coaches and wearing We Pay Players. I had an article that I found online, and I sent it to myself because of this exact conversation, right? Talking about Texas high school football and the number of NIL deals, and it had the top 10 richest, if you will, players in Texas high school football due to the NIL deals, right? And I'm working on pulling it up. So finish your thought, and I'm pulling this up because I want to talk about it.
Yeah, well, what I was just basically saying was it's, you know, Class 6A is just – it's such a big deal in high school football because you have so many good athletes on the field at one time. And these bigger schools that are becoming mega schools, you know, I mean, your ones are basically college athletes, you know. I mean, I'm talking 11 across. And so anyways, that's what just gets me so excited about getting to watch that is because, you know, we talk all the time about, you know, coaches at the 2A and 3A level and how you have to basically get everybody in the hallways out to play, and you have to keep them motivated and coach them up and love on them and things of that nature. And 6A football, you have so many. Yes, you need to go and get the ones out to get participation, but most of the time you have so many to deal with already, you know. And at that point, you know, you have so many things you can do X's and O's with that many players, you know, and you get to pick 11 of the best at a school like Atascocita or North Shore things. And a coach, you can really get technical with things. You know, there's blitzes you can dial up. There's man coverages you can dial up. There's just things that they do at the college level that you can start doing at that level. Whereas at the small town stuff, you're more or less, you're going to have two or three linemen that you're going to lean on a right side or a left side of a line, you know, and you're going to kind of follow those five or six guys that are carrying you from week to week. And so that's what kind of makes that interesting.
To elaborate on that point right there, you know, Whistleblower, we haven't talked about him on the show this year, this season.
Well, Whistleblower moved zip codes, right?
Yes, he moved. Like, he said, you know what? My son isn't able to start in Tarkington, so I'm going to go to Barbers Hill. And guess what? His son's making an impact over there. And it was fun talking to him the other day. So he's a junior this year. Camden is a junior this year. Don't know if he's going to start really in Barbers Hill. I was making a joke. But the difference in, you know, what he's experiencing at Barbers Hill versus being at Tarkington, total different world. You know,
oh, absolutely.
You're jumping two classifications. You're jumping from 3A or 4A Division I all the way up to 5A, right? So it's a complete different look that he's dealing with over there. Different attitude, right? You're going from Tarkington, Texas, which you got some homegrown boys that are coaching over there, not taking anything away from them guys. Glenn Kennedy's doing great things with girls volleyball over there. Coach Belt's doing good things with the football program. And at this smaller level, if you have them one kid that's special, you're lucky, you're fortunate. Really, if you got that one special kid in 6 or 8 years, you're really fortunate as a head football coach at the 3A and down level. So it's more of, you know, look, we're going to do the X's and O's. We're going to coach you the best we can. And at the end of the day, we're going to give you quality over quantity. And that's quality of life after you graduate high school, right? Not quantity of wins on the football field, in my opinion. So with that being said, Whistleblower and them moving over to Barbers Hill, this kid's getting complete different look at things. I mean, you're talking about going from practicing on the crawdad holes on the football field, practice field down there in Tarkington, to an indoor turf facility that's air conditioned and heated. You know, it's night and day difference what he's going into over there in Barbers Hill.
Well, not to mention the competition that I'm sure he's being faced with, you know, at that big of a school. I mean, what did Whistleblower tell you about his experience so far? Are they liking it? Is he enjoying his time with this kind of program and this kind of atmosphere over there in Barbers Hill?
So when I talked to him last week, they were 3 days into two-a-days as they're bigger schools. So they have summer or spring ball, right? So they're pushed back a week later to be able to start two-a-days and stuff versus what the 3A, you know, and 4A schools are. So with that being said, you know, he was only 3 days into practice, still trying to get acquainted and or adjusted overall. I plan on talking to him Monday or Tuesday and kind of be able to give a feedback at the end of next week. But, you know, so they made the jump. And, you know, one of the questions Whistleblower asked me is, and I started off as a joke, but, and it's a legit question. He's like, how do you go from a school like Tarkington and you're not starting to going to a 5A school and you're battling for a starting spot? And I said, well, I said, it's a difference in the culture, right? Your culture's different in Tarkington than what it is at Barbers Hill.
I mean, a lot of times, Craig, they're doing different things.
Right.
You know, I don't know what Whistleblower's, you know, son is, you know, what he's good at or what he brings the best out of, you know, what he does. But a lot of times is what they're doing different, you know.
Right.
I mean, over there, they may be running, you know, they may be running a spread. You know,
well, and it's not just that. What I was talking to him about as well was you also have the point of you got kids that are out in the country. And Toby, you know this as well as I do. Trent, you as well. You was raised up small school out in the country. You know, where we come from, we had a little bit more free time on our hands, you know, and kind of. It was very easy to get tied into the wrong crowd because there wasn't an abundance of people to be around, right? And it's very easy to get transferred over into the wrong group and or, you know, be on that borderline to where when you go to a bigger school like that, and of course he went to school there in sixth and seventh grade and then moved to Tarkington. And now moving back over there, you know, that school's so big, your athletes kind of stick together over there, right? And they hold each other to a higher standard to where in a smaller school setting, your athletes are kind of spread out in all different walks. Like even Cold Spring, for instance, you know, you got your kicker clan, you got your, you know, you got your little thuggish looking guys that, you know, want to be gangsters and but yet still playing football because they athletes, you know. So you have so many different areas that they transition to and kind of break out of, and you go to school and you may have gotten in trouble in a class and popped off. Well, then, you know, coaches get a bad rap with the coaches because, hey, so-and-so is getting in trouble in Miss G's class. And, you know, and then you get labeled, right? But when you're at a big school like that, and I've experienced it. I've worked on elevators at North Shore High School. I've been all over the place at some big schools. And you walk the halls, the athletes are walking together. They're not just out throughout. If you, in between classes, you got all the athletes walking together. And that's the way it used to be when we were in school. When I was in school, you know, football walked with football. When you were playing basketball, y'all were all on the same team. You walked together. Well, nowadays, that's kind of spread out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we talked about before. You know, times have just changed. You know, I mean, there's just
– Yes.
what it used to be and what it is now is it's just so hard to put on the same, you know, level playing field because it's just things are different. You know?
Yes. All right.
So you have to adjust.
So to circle back to what we opened all this up with and what you talked about as far as the NIL deals, right?
Yep.
Top 10 richest Texas high school football stars based on NIL deals in 2024. So I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm going to go from 10 down to number one. Number 10, Riley Pettyjohn. 6'2", 215-pound linebacker from McKinney High School. NIL validation of $253,000. He is committed to Ohio State. That's number 10. Number 9, Lance Jackson, 6'5", 250-pound defensive lineman from Pleasant Grove High School. NIL validation of $258,000. While his social media is low, let's see. I'm trying to see where he's committed. He's committed to the Texas Longhorns. Good for us, right, Toby?
That's right.
Number 8, Michael Terry III, 6'3", 215, wide receiver from Alamo Heights down there in Alamo. NIL validation of $263,000. And he's drawn a lot of attention for his ability to play running back and wide receiver, quarterback and linebacker. And is the nation's number one ranked ATF prospect. Trying to see where he's going to school. He has not made his decision between Texas and Oregon as of yet. Number 7, Calic Lockett, 6'2", 175 receiver from Sanchez High School. $316,000 is what they're saying he's evaluated as. And I'm trying to see where he's going to school. Texas Longhorns is where he's expected to choose. Ty Haywood, number 6, 6'5", 285, offensive tackle from Ryan High School. NIL validation of $357,000. So he is looking. It doesn't say where he is committed to, but that's their projection on what he's worth.
What I was saying earlier, Craig, not to stop you on the deal, but.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about how college football has obviously changed a lot. You
right.
know, it went from, you know, me walking in and telling you, hey, you're going to get a great education by coming to The Ohio State University, right?
Right.
We're going to take care of your kid and we're going to, you know, we're going to put him up at this apartment and he's going to get to eat this each day, three times a day. He's going to have the best weight training. We're going to prepare him for the NFL so that he can make money one day, right?
Right.
And if he don't do that, he can become a lawyer or do whatever he wants to do. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking NIL validations on kids in high school.
Yes.
Okay. So listen to what we're even saying. I mean, so now you take a kid that's got a validation of $300,000, $400,000 that he's looking at earning, not when he gets drafted. We're talking the day he steps foot on campus, right?
Right.
And you may have him in a scrimmage. You may have him in a district game that you're trying to win, but you've already ran him pretty hard and his hamstrings are starting to, you know, tighten up. I mean, these are decisions that coaches will have to deal with, you know, even at the high school level.
Yes.
You know, are you running him too hard? Are you taking too much rubber off his tread? You know, I mean,
right.
This type of stuff has now trickled all the way down to the high school level.
And I hate it. I personally hate it.
I'm not a fan.
Do I think maybe there should be some sort of a compensation because schools do make a lot of money off these guys? 100%. But I don't think it should be talked about, period, until they are high school graduates, till they have that diploma in their hand.
Agreed.
I don't think it should be talked about. You know, I'm a firm believer in, you know, God has a plan for everybody, and sometimes things happen and your plans change, right? It doesn't matter what it may be. You may have a business opportunity that's presented to you that you've prayed about and you've thought about and you decide to move forward with that business opportunity. And then a year later you realize, hey, I think I may have bitten off more than I could chew. And this isn't the direction that I thought that it was going to carry me. My point being in all this is, we're making these kids too famous, right? We got to humbleize a little bit as well. Although they can't handle a lot. Look at the amount of NFL athletes that after their career is over that end up bankrupt and everything else behind that. And there's a story about that. So those guys weren't prepared. And I think at the college level, they could do a better job preparing these kids, like teaching them finances and stuff like that, versus which should be taught in high school. That's not. The financial aspect of life needs to be taught at the high school level. That way, whenever they graduate high school and they get ready to start moving on to the next level, they can really buckle down, because something may happen, a car wreck, anything could happen, and their college career could end. And then it could be something as simple as a coach moving, changing jobs, and then all of a sudden your scholarship's gone, everything's gone. You just never know. My point being, right, is,
and that's a whole subject itself. You know, yeah. I mean, we used to, you know, it was a big deal. You know, like you take a finance class or even a math or algebra class, and maybe a couple weeks your teacher would hit on how to, you know,
balance a checkbook.
Take care of balance a checkbook. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, how do you do this? How do you do that? I mean, we're talking about $350,000 validation deals.
Yeah. We're talking about big money.
It's a big deal. And if they're getting that and they stay healthy through the college level, I mean, these pro guys are signing $40 million deals
right
a year. And so it goes the same thing with inflation and yes, everything else, I think, that's going on in life and how, you know, we talk about change. But, you know, both of you said you don't agree with it, you know, and you rightfully so. Everybody has their own opinion about it, you know. But at the end of the day, I think what happened in the landscape of college football is popularity. You know, yep, there's so many people that like the NFL. There's so many people that like college football. There's, you know, anytime you can go to the University of Texas A&M and you graduate, I mean, you're a lifer, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're going to, no matter where you're at, you're going to wear that proudly across your shirt, and you want them to be good because you want to be able to talk good about them to your friends and your coworkers and things like that. I had noticed the other day that now that Texas and Texas A&M are going to be playing again, that they had released the ticket prices, and the cheapest ticket to that game was like $525.
Jeez.
And last I checked, Kyle Field holds over 100,000 people. So you go do the math and just see the type of money that's coming in.
Yep.
You know, and we talk big about, you know, these college coaches and how they make so much money. I mean, the Jimbo Fisher payoff was what, like 70-something million?
Yep.
So that was a big deal. But when you look at the money that they're bringing in, we're not talking TV deals. We're talking about just ticket sales on one game.
Right.
And then I read this past week from the AD at Texas that, they're going to make an announcement. They're going to have a title sponsor for that game. So not only are they making that kind of money per ticket, they're going to have a title sponsor that's going to be paying as well.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's where we get all of this, you know, this NIL stuff. I think it's just there was so much that something had to change, something had to give. And, you know, it's not right. We don't have it. I don't think that it's fixed completely right now, but I think they've set the landscape of kind of what we're looking towards in the future, you know.
It's going to take them a while to get it right, exactly right.
Right.
You know, it just is.
So,
but I don't think it's not a perfect system, and it's not going to be. I'm still on the train of, I would have rather have not seen it happen, but I guess call it the old school in me.
Yeah.
So let's.
I do agree that some sort of compensation had to come aside from, especially when you talk about the sports that bring in the most money, and we all know that football brings in the most money for colleges and. As far as sports are concerned. So there had to been something. I get that. But at the same time, you know, I wish it wasn't as centered around that as it is, seems to be right now.
Well, let's fast forward. Let's get back on high school football real quick. Trent, where are you going Thursday night?
I will be in Hardin Jefferson there in Sour Lake watching the Panthers once again, hopefully see what the kind of things that they worked on over the week, based on what we saw last week. So that should be interesting. No plans currently for Friday. But that could change.
So that's going to be a good one. And you'll be able, people will be able to go to AYS, Anahuac Sports Live, and be able to watch maybe Maybe be able to stream that game, that scrimmage. We're hoping so, because I know Toby and I are going to want to watch, and we will watch. Toby, I know, we're making that road trip up to Crockett Thursday night, but I'm going to try to hit 2-for-1 in one night, and I'm going to go to Crockett, watch a little bit of the Cold Spring scrimmage. Then I'm going to come back south on 19 and watch the Corgan Bulldogs at Lovelady Thursday night as well. So
that should be a good one.
Yeah, ought to be good. Give Coach Ratliff some love from Corgan. Go visit with him a little bit. I'm excited to be able to go watch them. Coach Ratliff's going to come on the show as the season progresses on, so I'm looking forward to that. Got Coach Miles Robinson lined up to come on the show, not next week, but the following week, which the week, I guess it's like September 8th, which is going to be the Battle of San Jacinto coming up, Cold Spring and Shepherd. So looking forward to getting Coach Robinson on the show and visiting with him. Talked to him at the Cold Spring scrimmage Thursday night, and he said he already beat up. His kids are, said this last week against their scrimmage against Hardin. Preston Stevens wasn't going to touch the field, try to get him back healthy. So said he's already beat up. And I said, well, Coach, you're not in a district that you can afford to have players beat up with, you know, once y'all get into the meat and potatoes of your schedule. And obviously he agreed. So going to be interesting to see. And Toby, what closing comments do you have?
Man, just got a very exciting football season ahead of us, right? Not only just our hometown Trojans, but all the other schools that are in our surrounding areas. And it's such an entertaining time of the year for myself and my family to be able to look forward to that every weekend.
Most definitely. So I'm excited about this season as well. Probably is with things to come, probably more excited than I have been in a long time. And there's more going to come out. And we talked, Trent and I talked about it in a podcast a while back, but we've had some move going in the right direction. So really looking forward to the future of what we got going in Texas high school football and growing what we have going. So looking forward to that. Don't forget, if you're looking to grow your business, want to join in to the 590 Sports Show, email us at info@texaspodcastmedia.com. We got plenty of information for you. If you want to come on as a sponsor, whether it be a scoreboard sponsor, segment sponsor, maybe the Pick'em sponsor. We got a lot of stuff going on with that. We're going to talk about the Pick'ems next week. So a lot of good things coming on with the 590 Sports Show. Looking really forward to it as we progress on. So that's all I got for tonight. Trent, you got anything you want to cap on?
Man, you talk about Pick'ems. Aren't we? We got to do Pick'ems next Sunday.
We do. Next week, we have to do Pick'ems on the show. So, Toby, it's going to be paramount that you get into the Randy's Rubs hot box so we can really discuss these Pick'ems as we progress on into this show.
Yeah, we're going to dive into every district within our listening region here and within the region that we cover. And, we'll see how jacked up we can make these Pick'ems this year as opposed to last year.
Most definitely. And we're going to be posting them on the 590 Sports page for you to be able to chime in with the Pick'ems as well over there. So that's going to do it for the 590 Sports Show tonight. And we appreciate y'all tuning in on Apple, Spotify, or whatever your preferred streaming method is here for the 590 Sports Show. Don't forget, you can also go to texaspodcastmedia.com and click on the bottom of the page. All the podcasts are listed right there as well. So for Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, Toby Tullis, I'm Craig Irwin. We will see you at the game.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.